Great to be here. It's also great to be joining you in this series looking at encounters with Jesus. That's really important because we all need an encounter with Jesus. And we heard in today's reading that today's encounter that we're looking at is with a man called Saul. Now, of course, it isn't a competition, but I think this must be one of the most important because it's described for us three times, is it? It is described three times. Here, as it happens, Luke describes what happens to Saul. And then Saul, whose name is changed to Paul, describes it twice more to other people that he encounters. Why? Look, if you're going to keep interrupting, you better come out and say hello. All right, come on then. Well, this is quite cozy, isn't it? Yeah, it's nice here. Have I really got to come out? Yes, you've got to come out. There we are. Whoa! This is different.
Yeah.
Well, I said we're going to be in a different church today. Yeah, but you didn't say they were so much better looking than the usual lot. Well, that's maybe. But aren't you going to say hello, Oscar? Hello, Oscar. Why do I bother? Oscar. Can anyone tell me what kind of animal Oscar is? Any of our younger people, perhaps? Yes. Right at the back. He's an orangutan. He got it right. They usually call me a monkey. They do usually call you a monkey, which is very rude. But yes, Oscar is an orangutan who sometimes is helpful when I'm teaching the Bible. You better get on with the story. Okay. So where was I? You were saying that Saul is really important. Yes. No, the story of his conversion is really important, because it's told three times. So it's not Saul who's important, but what the story teaches us. It teaches us two really important things about Jesus. Are you sure? Why? Well, it's usually three. Okay, it teaches us three really important things about Jesus. Firstly, it teaches us that Jesus is more powerful than his enemies. Now, Saul wasn't an ordinary non-Christian going about his life trying to ignore God. Saul was a very religious man, was he? Yes, very, trying to serve God. The problem was that God had sent the Savior that he'd been promising, Jesus, exactly, but Saul didn't believe that Jesus was the Savior that God had promised. So he was still waiting for the Savior. And while he was waiting, he was rounding up everyone who believed that Jesus was the Savior. What do you mean, rounding up? Well, he had them sent into prison, and if they still wouldn't say that Jesus wasn't God's son, he'd even have them killed. Just the men? Well, no. Luke says in verse 2 that it was the women as well. Who's Luke? Oh, Luke is the author of the book of Acts that we're reading from, the one God chose to write it all down so that we could hear this story about Saul. So, Saul was a powerful person, but you said Jesus is more powerful. That's right. Saul was busy trying to round up all the Christians in Jerusalem to stamp out Christianity, but he discovered that he'd failed because the good news of Jesus had spread to Damascus. Where is that? Well, Damascus is about 135 miles north of Jerusalem in a place called Syria. But on his way there, Jesus stopped him.
Did Jesus have a big army and tanks and guns and things?
No, Oscar, Jesus didn't need tanks and guns and things, just light and words.
Really?
Really, just light and words. Saul saw a brilliant light, and he heard a voice say, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" And Jesus made him blind for a while so that he would know that he hadn't just been dreaming it.
But Saul didn't know it was Jesus.
Well, he pretended not to, but I think he did, because he answered, "Who are you, Lord?" Which always makes me think of Dad's army when Captain Mannering says, "Don't tell him, Pike."
What?
Never mind, you're too young, Oscar. What this shows us is that although Saul was a powerful enemy of Jesus, Jesus is more powerful. He stopped Saul in his tracks. That's really important for us today because Jesus has lots of enemies in the world today. Sometimes it can look to us as his followers as though his enemies are winning. And it must have felt like that in Jerusalem each time one of the Christians was killed. But what we learn here is that Jesus knows all about it. And when he's ready, he can stop the most powerful enemy with a word.
Well, that's good, because then he can give them what they deserve.
Well, actually, no, Oscar. And this is the second really important lesson about Jesus. Jesus is merciful to his enemies. What was it that Jesus said to Saul?
I can't remember. Can any of you help me? What did Jesus say to Saul? Anyone?
Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?
Thank you.
That's right. So, why are you persecuting me? Said Jesus. Now, in those few words, the whole of Saul's world turned upside down.
What do you mean?
Well, Jesus, the man he wanted to be dead, was alive. It meant Jesus' followers' incredible claim that Jesus was raised from the dead was true. And it meant that the people that he's been persecuting are somehow one with Jesus. So when he punishes one of them, he's actually doing it to Jesus.
So Saul got a real shock when he discovered that he'd been doing those things to Jesus?
Yeah, but it was worse than that.
Really? What could be worse?
Well, he had put his trust in his religion. He was one of God's people, the people of Israel. He came from a religious family. He'd spent his childhood learning all God's commandments. He'd spent his adulthood keeping them carefully. So as far as Saul was concerned, he'd earned his place in heaven.
But you can't do that.
No. Now he knew that Jesus was alive again, he'd have to listen to Jesus. And before he died, Jesus had said, "No one comes to the Father
except through me."
Well remembered. Not by being religious, by faith in Jesus. It was like he'd got onto the motorway, started going as fast as he could, and then realized that he should be on the other side of the motorway, heading in the opposite direction. It's a horrible feeling.
Have you done it?
Yes, I've done it. So?
So, what did Jesus do to punish Paul?
Nothing.
What? Nothing?
Nothing. Oscar, why did Jesus die?
So he could be punished in our place for our sins, so we don't have to, which means we can be God's friends.
Right. And what did Jesus shout out just before he died?
It is finished.
Right. Jesus didn't shout out, "It is finished," apart from the sins that Saul is about to commit when he starts killing my friends and claiming he's doing God's will.
Wow. So Jesus took the punishment that even Saul deserved.
That's right. But only because Saul repented. He turned from his sin and accepted Jesus' free offer of forgiveness. And that's really important for us, because we were all enemies of Jesus until we encountered him in the Bible. In fact, some years later, Saul wrote, "But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us."
So Jesus is more powerful than his enemies, and Jesus has mercy on his enemies. What's the third lesson, John?
The third really important thing we learn about Jesus in this story is that Jesus draws his enemies into his service.
How does that work then?
Well, before he set off for Damascus, Saul went to the high priest in Jerusalem to get a letter saying that he had authority to arrest the Christians in Damascus. But it seems that there was a mole in the high priest's office.
Did he say a mole?
Yes, you know, a spy who told people what the high priest was up to.
Oh, not a real mole then.
No, not a real mole, a spy. And we know this because the Christians in Damascus knew that Saul was on his way, breathing murderous threats against them. And God told one of them, called Ananias, to go and find Saul and give him his sight back, which Jesus had taken away. And Ananias said, "Lord, I've heard from many about this man, how much evil he has done to your saints at Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priests to bind all who call on your name."
So, what was his name?
Ananias.
Yes, him. He must have been really scared about going to see Saul in case Saul arrested him.
He was. because he was forgetting that Jesus is more powerful than his enemies. So God explained to Ananias that Saul was the person he'd chosen to take the good news of Jesus to lots of different nations and their rulers. So Ananias did as God said and went and baptized Saul.
Didn't he have to do the Christianity Explored course first?
No, he didn't. Because he actually knew the truth already. He knew all the truth about Jesus. But as he wrote later, he realized he had been suppressing the truth.
What does that mean?
Well, it's what we all do when we don't want something to be true. We pretend it isn't true. Like people who say God isn't real. They only have to look at his creation to see that he is real. But they don't want him to be real, so they pretend he isn't. Or like when we're tempted to do something we know is wrong, even you, we pretend it isn't wrong. And that's called suppressing the truth.
So what happened after Saul was baptized?
Well, Luke tells us that he immediately started preaching the good news, telling people that he'd been wrong about Jesus. And then he went on huge long journeys across land and sea, telling everyone that he met that Jesus is alive.
What? The guy who used to kill people for believing in Jesus is now telling people to believe in Jesus?
That's right. Jesus draws his enemies into his service. And that's really important to remember, because every follower of Jesus used to be his enemy.
What? Even you?
Even me. Jesus had mercy on me when I was his enemy. And now, like all Christians, I serve him because he is my Lord.
And you serve him by telling his enemies that he loves them. But isn't that scary, meeting Jesus' enemies?
Yes, it is. But I simply have to remember that Jesus is more powerful than his enemies.
Of course. Well, I think we'd better pray that God helps us remember what we've learnt this morning. Shall we do that?
Yes, let's pray. Close your eyes.
Okay.
Heavenly Father, thank you for this story. Thank you for causing Luke to write it down so that we can learn from it. Thank you that your son is more powerful than his enemies. Thank you that he is merciful to his enemies, especially us. And thank you that he calls us, his enemies, into his service. May we honor that calling. May we respond to it every day. So that we can spread the good news that Jesus' love is for everyone. Amen.
Amen. Well, nice to meet you all. See you soon. Bye.